Matthew Leckie puts Australia into the quarterfinals.
That is a magnificent goal by Owen Mabil.
Oh, Matty Ryan, wow! Keeping it out of the top corner like Superman.
Hello and welcome to the Socceroos podcast. Chris Carulli with you for episode 3 of our Aussies Abroad series, which today features a great chat with Joel King. Having just moved to Denmark, we discuss the young defender's first impressions of the Nordic nation, plus his experiences with the Ollie-Roos at Tokyo 2020, a surprise Socceroos debut in Melbourne, and much more. So without any further ado, let's get straight into it. Joel, thanks for joining us on the Aussies Abroad podcast. You've been abroad for a couple of weeks now, so we're looking forward to catching up on how you're traveling. I've got a few questions from fans for you and a few about your journey. So just to start with, plenty of Socceroos fans across Twitter and Instagram have been asking us, how are you finding it over in Denmark?
Obviously the biggest change is the weather. I've said it a few times, but yeah, it's obviously freezing over here. It's taken me a while to adapt, but I think slowly I'm adjusting and getting used to it. The first few training sessions I couldn't feel my toes, so I'm glad to say that for the last couple of sessions I've felt them for the whole session, and yeah, I'm slowly getting used to it.
That would help being able to, you know, use the toes moving forward. Keen to ask about the reality of the move versus maybe what your expectations were. Is there anything that's a bit different to what you expected?
Not really. I think I didn't expect everyone to be so nice, to be honest. I thought, I'd come here and they'd think, oh, this Australian's trying to, come here and take my spot and whatnot. But all these Danish boys have been so nice. Obviously, they all speak like perfect English, so that's been really helpful. Coming in, I'm thinking there's an old left back here. Oh, he's 30 years old, but an older left back. I'm thinking he's probably going to hate me and give me nothing, but he's been so nice to me. Like, he helps me with heaps of stuff. And I've even started over him twice now, and he's still nice with me. So it's surprising, but it's great. I've liked the boys and the welcoming I've gotten, so yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
That's awesome. And how's life off the pitch? Obviously at your age it's a big move to move away from home and very far away from home for the first time.
Yeah, it's okay, it's good. I'm still in a hotel at the moment, so I think when I get an apartment I'll be a bit more settled in and find my feet a bit. But yeah, it's just a bit funny. During the day there's just no one in Australia that's up, so it's a bit weird. It's a bit quiet, my phone's quiet, but I'm getting used to it. Obviously the mornings and the evenings are good because I can stay in touch with a lot of the friends and family back home, but it's good, it's different, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, in terms of adjusting to Danish culture and that kind of thing, has there been any weird Danish food you've tried or experiences you've had yet?
I have had a Danish meal, but it was like these four different types of fish or something. It was weird. It was like raw fish and stuff. It wasn't too great, to be honest, but I got told that it was a really good meal, so I got it, and it was all right, nothing special. But nothing else too much. No other weird meals or anything, but I'm sure I'll try everything that is to offer.
Going back to on the pitch, you had a pretty big game on the weekend against Midtjylland, obviously former club of Awal Mabil, who was on this podcast. It was a tough goal to take, late 2-2 draw, but still a decent result. Tell us about that game.
Yeah, it was. I thought we went down 1-0, and then, but we're playing good, so it was a bit of a kick in the guts to concede the first goal. So I thought we'd done well to obviously get two goals back, and I think we held him out for 20 minutes or so. So obviously conceding the last minute from like a set piece was shocking. But I don't know. They're the second best team in Denmark at the moment, and to play that well against them was obviously really good on our behalf. But even then they equalised, and then in the last minute or like last 10 seconds, we had another chance to score, but unfortunately we missed. So It was a bit unfortunate. It felt like a loss drawing. So I think that's a good sign, really, versus one of the best teams in Denmark. So no, it's all good. I think obviously we versus Copenhagen the week before as well, and I thought we played well against them. So I'm excited to see what it's like versus the bottom half table. So hopefully we can get some wins on the board.
Yeah, I'm sure that first win is on the way. You couldn't have asked for a tougher first two games for yourself. How have you found it on the pitch in comparison? That's a common question that we get come in, I guess, the football itself, how it compares to the football in Australia. Anything you've noticed?
Yeah, I think it's just a bit quicker. I think just the average player here is like a very good player. So I think every game has that bit more intensity in it. Obviously, with people trying to get into the top six and not fall into the bottom six, and then again not being in the bottom because of relegation. So I think just every game has that bit more intensity. But other than that, I think the A-League's like pretty much on par with it. I didn't expect it to be to be this close to it, but I think it's pretty level. But yeah, I just think the average player here is just a little bit better.
Obviously, big move for you coming off the back, well, of its Socceroos debut, which we'll get to a bit later, but I'm keen to go back to the Olympics first. Obviously, a lot of players you played with in that squad, the likes of Jonro, Metcalf now, Atkinson, Devlin, all made the move overseas off the back of the tournament. Is that something you were hoping for, you expected? And, you know, seeing a lot of the other boys go over there, were there options for you? And how did this move then end up coming about?
Yeah, of course. I think I went to an Ollie Roos camp in 2020, I think it was, or maybe end of 2019, in Canberra, and Arnie gave us the stats of how many of the most recent team that played for Australian Olympics, and it showed us like 95% of the team went on from playing in Australia to Europe. So when I saw that, I thought, if I ever get the chance to play in the Olympics, I'm hoping that I go to Europe after that. So when it ended up becoming a reality, that was pretty much the one thing on my mind, if I could get to Europe. And yeah, fortunately, it all panned out and I'm here now.
Yeah. And at the Olympics, obviously you weren't in the squad that qualified, but you came in afterwards and you'd been in a few camps here and there. And also, I guess that's not saying you were unfamiliar with some of the boys, looking back in the youth national teams. I think you might have made your Joey's debut alongside Dylan Piraeus, and I've seen photos of you playing alongside the likes of Atkinson and even Ash Maynard Brewer in the younger years. So I guess coming into that camp, there was quite a bit of a brotherhood already that then developed from there.
Yeah. So, yeah, obviously I didn't go to the qualifiers in that. I was sort of fortunate in how I managed to not go to many of the tournaments, but then get my way into the Olympic squad. So I was pretty lucky with that, but very fortunate. But it was good. I didn't know all the boys, but yeah, like you said, Dylan Piraeus and Atkinson I played with in the Joeys and Young Socceroos. So it was good to see them and play with them, and it made it a bit easier coming into a squad that I didn't really know too well.
Do you remember what it was like when you first kind of got the news, that first call up, that you'd be able to represent your country?
For the Olympics?
Should we go back to for the Joeys the first time? What were the circumstances around that?
Oh, Joeys. Yeah. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was an email we got for the Joeys, but that was a while ago now. I think 2015 it would have been. Obviously that was crazy being in school and that as well. Your friends knowing at school that you're in the Australian team, and then your mates are telling the teachers, oh, this is my friend, he plays for Australia and stuff. It was a bit annoying in that sense, but no, it was pretty cool to play for Australia at that age. And it was really good.
Yeah, and then of course coming through to the Olympics, as you said, you timed your run perfectly into the squad and find yourself starting that first game against Argentina. Where was your mind at heading into that?
Yeah, that was, even looking at the selection, there wasn't any other left back. So I was thinking, I'm a chance of starting. But then again, you never know. They could have played a different formation. Like in the pre-tournament stuff, we're playing five at the back, and Riley was even playing wing back at then for a few games. So I thought, they might play him there. But then when it came to the Olympics, we played four at the back. So, the first game was pretty crazy. It was pretty nerve-wracking going into the game. Obviously, Argentina, you're thinking like these flary, like skillful wingers coming up against. So it was, a bit nerve-wracking, but obviously after the game was crazy to beat them. So, it was probably one of my best moments in my career so far.
Yeah, the rest is history from that point. Obviously, setting up the opening goal too, that must have felt good.
Yeah, it all happened so quickly as well. I don't know. But we did work on it a bit. We knew that... then balls would work from the centre back. So, it just made it even better that the coach wanted that. So to make him happy was even better as well. And then Juki had to miss it. He actually got a touch up for it. So technically it was his assist, but far out. It was good that Walesy got on the end of it as well. He actually told me, I think two nights before, he was sending all the boys in the chat voice recordings of just like motivational speeches and stuff. And yeah, he sent me one and he said, when you get in the final third, just whip it with conviction and I'll be on the end of it. And then turns out 2 days later, it came true. So it's pretty funny. It was good.
There you go. And he's robbed your assist off you as well, Juki. What was it like with him in camp as well? Was he was seen as the dad of the squad a little bit.
Yeah. He was the pop, but everyone really actually bullied him. He was, he was just, everyone put on him. So, but he's good value for the team. Obviously had that bit of experience and obviously a very hard worker. So he worked very well in our Oli Roos team, I think. He's a perfect overage player for us. But yeah, a lot of the boys gave him sticks, so it's good banter.
Yeah, got to put the older boy in his place off the pitch as well. Obviously, a bit of a different Olympic experience to what it might have been. You guys were stuck together for a lot of it. I hear, speaking of Juki, you guys played a bit of table tennis throughout. He might have been in the final against Keanu Backus. Can you tell us about how that tournament went down?
Yeah, that started when we were in one of the pre-camps. I can't remember what city it was in, but yeah, everyone got put into a competition, played ping pong, and then in the final, it was Keanu and Juki, and it was a massive show, really. All the boys got around it. They got in their kits, because we got that much kit from ASICS and whatnot, so they had wristbands and hats and everything on, so... It was good. It was a good show, to be honest. There's some videos of it as well, and it's good. But I'm pretty sure Keanu won, so everyone was happy with that. So, everyone's gone for Keanu for sure.
There you go. You mentioned, we'll just jump back to Argentina for a second. You said it's one of the best moments of your career so far, and you referred to after the game. Just... give us an insight into what that was like, the bus trip back, looking at social media, that all of that. It must have been a whirlwind night.
Yeah. I think we did not celebrate, but we were taking it in. As soon as we got off the pitch, everyone was in a huddle. I think just the emotions, everyone was just super excited. Everyone was happy. The bus trip back. The tunes were on straight away, and Jordan Holmes singing the whole time, so he put on a show. So it was good fun. It was, It was something, yeah, I'll never forget.
There you go. Looking back on that Olympics experience as a whole, is there a key takeaway from it? Is there, I guess, some people you've become close to, or something maybe you learnt about yourself as a footballer?
Some people I've gotten close to. I think there's a lot of boys that I got close to in that team. Especially the boys in Europe, I think it's good to speak to them. Obviously, if I have any questions about anything in Europe, it's good to talk to them, Riley and that. But yeah, the whole Olympics experience was great. I think to see what the players are like at my age at the top level is pretty eye-opening. Obviously, Pedri and that, they're just a different level. But I think the Argentinians and that, I think our Aussie boys aren't too far from that. Obviously, we beat them, so we're on that level. So it's good to see that we can match it with some of the best in the world.
There you go, and we'll fast forward from there through, again, plenty more game time for Sydney FC. You know, you've established yourself there pretty quickly, and you know, you played a lot of games in not a long period of time. I guess I'm keen to ask about coming through at Sydney, that left back spot. You seemed to make it your own quite quickly before a lot of people had even noticed. Coming through, I guess, with the likes of Michael Zullo around, former Socceroo. Tell us that environment. I guess, was Zullo someone that helped you through, and how was it becoming a first team player at such a young age?
Yeah, I think Zulzi was very good for me. The first year I signed in the first team, I think I played one game in the last game of the season. It was dead rubber. But that year I learned a lot of him when he was playing, even in training when we'd do tactical stuff. He'd talk to me heaps. So I did learn a lot of him. So fortunately for me, when he got injured, I'd already learned a lot from him. So when he was injured, it was good for me, I guess. I got a good run of games, and I ended up playing pretty much every game since. So it's very unfortunate for Zulzi, but that was my opportunity. So haven't looked back since.
Yeah, did you always have that belief that once the opportunity came up, you'd be able to take it? Obviously, you're coming into off the back of what's been one of the most successful A-League teams ever, and all of a sudden that spot's yours.
Yeah, I think, like I said before, I think it was just a very fortunate opportunity for me. I think that's what football is all about, really. If there's no people getting injured, or for my Socceroos experience, no people missing flights and having blizzards and that, you don't get your chance. So I'm just fortunate that I got my chance, and I took it. So, yeah.
Let's go to that Socceroos experience. You're caught up to camp, and unlike the Olympics, there is another left back in there in Aziz Bayich, who's one of the more experienced members of the squad. So you head into camp in Melbourne, and what are you thinking at that stage? Obviously, probably not so much expecting to start that game against Vietnam.
Definitely not. I think my goal was to just learn as much as I could in an environment like that. Obviously, some players in there are crazy good. So it was nerve-wracking to even train. I was pretty nervous. I don't want to stuff up and look like an idiot. But as soon as I got in there, there was only a few boys because we were pretty early into the camp. So that was a good introduction, I think. I definitely didn't expect to start. I just wanted to go there and learn from the best there is in Australia. So to think that I would have started would have been crazy.
Yeah, so how did that news then filter through of the once in a very long time snowstorm in Istanbul that had trapped Bayich there?
To be honest, I heard I heard rumors, but I thought it was Boyle actually said to me, "Has this missed his flight?" I was like they're trying to take the piss out of the young kid, trying to get me nervous and stuff. So I was just laughing it off, like, yeah, whatever. And then Renee pulled me aside like a couple of hours later, and he said, "Aziz actually missed his flight. So we don't know who's going to start, but just be ready. Like, get your head around it. You could start." So straight away I thought, oh, okay. But still, I thought, I don't know. It's my first time in camp. They could put Ryan Grant left back, maybe another centre back at left back. I don't know. So, but I just trained, tried to do my best in training. And then, yeah, fortunately, Arnie had enough faith in me to play me. So it was, yeah, a really good experience.
Yeah, what's it like standing there either at minus one training the day before and then at the game, and you're in a back four for the Socceroos alongside the likes of, you know, Trent Sainsbury and Milos Deganek? That must have just felt a bit surreal.
Yeah, it was. Walking out, looking to your side and seeing like Moy and Rogic and that, it's crazy. That's when I was thinking, oh my god, like it's real. But then as soon as the game started, I started to just forget about it and just think about the game.
Yeah, how did you find the game? Obviously a solid win and a great atmosphere down there in Melbourne.
Yeah, atmosphere was one of the best I've been in, really. Yeah, the first 10 minutes, I think like every debut, my heart was pounding. Everything's going 100 miles an hour. Even the game was going 100 miles an hour. We scored in the first minute and it got disallowed. But, I found myself just chasing the ball. It was up and back. But, yeah, so it was a bit hectic in the first 10, 15 minutes. But after that, we sort of controlled the game and then settled down.
Did your family make it down to watch you debut?
Yeah, so they were going to come anyway, even if I was sitting on the bench. My parents and my brother and sister came. So, fortunately for them that I got to play. So they were buzzing.
I'm sure they'll hopefully be back in the stands in Sydney as well. Prospect of playing at a home game at Stadium Australia in your hometown. I guess growing up, obviously there's been so many huge games at Stadium Australia over the years with the Socceroos. Were you sitting in the stands for any of them?
Yeah, I would have been to a few games, but when I was younger, I can't remember them too much. But yeah, I definitely went to a few Socceroos games and watching Tim and Cale and that. So if I get the opportunity to be in the Socceroos again for this camp, it'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah, next level, hey, looking at the likes of, you know, two must-win games and coming face-to-face with, you know, if you're on the left side against Japan, you're looking at Takumi Minamino or something like that. That must be pretty unreal to think about.
Yeah, definitely daunting, but nah, it's all part of the experience. This is what you play football for, so it's just exciting and something to look forward to.
Yeah, and we'll take you back. Yeah, mentioning your family, there's been some people on Twitter as well asking, obviously you come from a pretty strong sporting family across the board, your sister Taryn playing in the A-League Women's at the moment. How was that growing up? You've probably had this question before, but, you know, growing up and having multiple kids in the family pursuing football must have been a unique experience. You must have pushed each other on.
Yeah, I think, well, my brother and my sister are the reason I got into football. So, it's unfortunate that they played football. My dad was a rugby league player. So I'm glad I didn't go down that path. But, obviously we used to play a lot in the backyard. It used to be me and my sister versus my older brother and my dad. And, yeah, me and my sister used to go all right. So, it's good to see her playing in the A-League Women and doing well. So, she's enjoying it. It's it's good to see.
Yeah, there you go. And coming from your region as well, Shell Harbour, that Illawarra area has produced quite a few Socceroos over the years. You know, a left back exactly in Scott Chipperfield. Is that a connection, yeah, I guess you've been aware of over the years?
Yeah, obviously I used to watch him a lot as well when I was younger. Him, Lukey Wilkshire. Yeah, obviously there's a bit of talent down there. It's actually the other day I saw a young boy at Wanderers made his debut, Phil Kenker, and he set up a goal for Tatey Russell, which is from Wollongong as well. So I was quickly to message both of them to congratulate them. And yeah, it's just good to see a few good players coming from the Illawarra region.
There you go. Yeah, strong connection still continuing through. Well, that almost covers us. One question that we've asked everyone in this series so far is to name a dream five-a-side team. So we'll leave it open for you whether you'd like to use players you've played with and maybe a combination of some of the big names you've played against. So take it away.
It's a tough one. I don't know. I definitely have to say Raiders in goals. Obviously, I've played with him a lot at Sydney. He's a top keeper, so, and obviously he'd shoot me if I didn't put him in. Ryan Grant at the back with Wilkinson for sure. And then I'm going to have to change it up and go, I'll say Mbappe from PSG. We versed him in a friendly in China. He was obviously a really good player. I'll say, so he's up top. I'll put Pedri in the midfield. We versed him in the Olympics. And I'll say Cavani up top with Mbappe. Cavani, Mbappe, Pedri, Wilco, Ryan Grant, and Redding. Is that enough? That's too much.
Is that six?
No, because I got a goalkeeper. I'll take Cavani. I'll take out Cavani. I'll keep Mbappe, Pedri, Wilco, Ryan Grant, and Redders.
One last question for you. Something that we found, we've been going through people's Instagrams, you know, as a fuel for some of these podcasts, and I found a very old photo of you when you were about 15, taking a photo with Luis Suarez. Just wondering if there's a story behind meeting him.
Yeah, yeah, I was on a holiday in Spain actually, with my sister and my dad, and we have family friends that live in Barcelona, like an hour south of Barcelona, Castell. And we had been going to this restaurant like three nights in a row, and it was a Uruguayan restaurant, but we had no clue that obviously Luis Suarez would go. So, but we'll go on there, and then this third night that we went there, we'd normally sit at the front. And like in this massive room with all tables and whatnot, but it was like booked out, but there was no one there. So we got like shifted into the back, into like a back room with just a smaller room, but with a few tables. So we're like a bit confused, but like whatever, we went to the back and ordered that. And then like the waiter told us that, Luis Suarez was in the front. So obviously we were like excited, buzzing, like thinking, what the hell, actually Luis Suarez is in the front in the same restaurant. And obviously the waiters told Suarez that we were keen to meet him and that, and yeah, he was nice enough to let us in and take some photos with him. So it was pretty crazy. I was lucky enough to get a photo with him.
There you go. Any other big names that you've come across? Obviously, as you said, that game against PSG, did you manage to exchange any shirts after that one?
Yeah, I ended up getting Serge Meunier's shirt. He was a big player, like big guy, obviously a huge shirt. But I remember saying like, oh, can I get your shirt, please? And he took it off and gave it to me, and I was just like, oh, thank you. I was done. Walk by and he goes, hey, like, are you gonna give me your shirt? I was like, oh, all right, like, didn't think you'd want this, but yeah, you can have it.
So, there you go.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty good experience. I still got that shirt at home.
Can imagine. And still, and then there's a Sydney FC shirt floating around Paris somewhere, so can be happy happy with that.
Yeah, probably.
Nah, you never know. People don't play against Australian teams every day, I guess. And well, on that note, we'll wrap it up there, Joel. Really appreciate your time and you running through life in Denmark and a bit of your journey. All the best in the weeks to come, and hopefully we'll see you back in green and gold soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I've had fun.
Yes, we hope you enjoyed that episode as much as Joel did. If you did, feel free to check out some of our other Socceroos and Aussie Roos podcasts. At the time of release, there's not long to go until our March 24 World Cup qualifier versus Japan, so be sure to grab your tickets for that huge game at Stadium Australia if you haven't already. Feel free to let us know your thoughts on the show on social media. Tell us who you'd like to hear next and what you would ask them. Be sure to follow the Socceroos on all of their official channels, as there's plenty more exclusive content to come. Thanks again, and goodbye for now.